Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Liza Donnelly is a cartoonist and writer with The New Yorker and a resident cartoonist at CBS News. Her work has been exhibited around the world. She is a cultural envoy for the U.S. State Department, traveling around the world speaking about freedom of speech, cartoons, and women's rights. Her latest book is for dog owners and lovers everywhere. C.J. Frick's book, Be the Person Your Dog Thinks You Are, is a humorous, fully illustrated book by Donnelly that shows us that even when we feel at our worst, our dogs still think we're the best. And isn't that a lovely, lovely thing to know? Liza Donnelly joins us this morning. Liza, what a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah.
So, how did this this collaboration come about?
Well, it's kind of a different book for me to do. But I was going to say it's not a political book, but maybe it is because we need dogs right now. I think we need to focus on dogs as a distraction or something to help us be better people. But the book, I got approached by Flatiron Books to illustrate this book, which was really written by two editors. C.J. Frick is a fictional person. It's a compilation of two editors. And they had an outline, a structure, and some one-liners, and I worked on some of those with them and just did the drawings. It was wonderful to do.
What is it like for you to what I love is the variation and collection of dogs that you have drawn for this. What goes into in a cartoon, are you looking, is there sort of I don't like to use the word generic, but sort of a dog that you use regularly, and this gave you a chance to expand that repertoire when it comes to different types of dogs?
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I typically have had in my long career a dog that I draw that is based on my own dog from growing up and partly based on Snoopy from Peanuts. And my first cartoon in The New Yorker was about a relationship with a dog, and it was that particular dog. So this book was great fun because I got to explore breeds and figure out which breeds I wanted to draw and pair them with an owner. Because there's 10 characters in this book and with their dogs, 10 dog characters and 10 people characters. And I sort of kept their relationship in mind and the way they interacted with each other. I paired the one-liners with the particular dog and owner. It was fun to draw a pug because I'd never drawn a pug before. It was fun to draw a corgi. They're really great dogs to draw. So, yeah.
I assume that when you do a collection having to do anything with dogs, that people gravitate toward it. I mean, it seems that that's a winning formula, isn't it? We love our dogs. We love to recognize that bond and friendship.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. I mean, that and cats, too. The cats are a little more complicated, I think, but dogs make people happy.
Right. And cats, have
cats
an attitude.
No offense.
No, but they have an attitude.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm...
And some dogs do, too, Joe. I have to say that you know, having done this book and talking to some dog owners over the past month or two, some dogs have attitudes. So I mean, many of these dogs in the book are most of them are sort of upbeat and happy and positive. But I do know that there's some breeds, like terriers, for example, that can be very opinionated and very snarky. So I don't want to make all dogs seem alike.
Well, there's something very mm-hmm. because I mean, obviously, it's. We've said this for years of that it's our best friend is our dog and that we these animals, I mean, just as the title indicates, is that the dog thinks you're great, right? I mean, we have to live up to that, hopefully. And what's so fascinating is, and I find this in your book and other books about dogs, is dogs can be, they're lovely, they're fun, they can be silly, they can make you laugh, but there's also an inherent sadness to many dogs, too.
Hmm.
Would you agree with that or no?
I would agree. We had one dog that was really upbeat. His name was Oliver, and loved to go for walks, daily walks. But he had a soulfulness. Maybe it's a soulfulness,
yes,
not so much sadness, but a depth that many dogs have that you can't communicate with words with them, really, but you can communicate in feeling and the way you look at each other or the quiet things you do together, or the loud things you do together, too. But there's a connection. There's a soulful connection with so many dogs that owners have, I think, and I know I have.
In many breeds, it's just the furrowing of that brow. It's the look that you get that soulfulness is a great word for it.
And I think they make us keep us grounded in many cases, like this, thinking about what's really important in life. And the ears, their ears are also very expressive.
Oh, ears are great. And are you? I tend to. In my dog companionship, I tend to hang with dogs with floppy ears, but I have nothing against with the...
what does that say about you, Joe? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I will tell you, I have a great love for retrievers. That's a thing.
Mm.
But like a German Shepherd, those standard attention ears are amazing.
Yeah. And the Basset Hound ears.
Oh,
we had a Basset Hound for a while, which she didn't use them to express herself because she couldn't really move them. But too heavy.
Yeah, they're
but
big.
But she, it was part of her personality to have these huge ears.
I've told this story before, and this is no other reason to tell it other than I think it just speaks to the human character and our relationship with dogs. But I've been here a long time. My mom passed away about a decade ago, and there was a very nice outpouring from listeners who wrote to me and were very, very sweet. My dog of many years that I had talked about a lot on the show passed away. And the male was about 4-1. You know, there's a lot more people that wrote me and were just heartbroken about the loss of the dog than mom. I get that. I understand it. And I think it's just to me really interesting of it brought a whole different understanding that I had toward people's relationship with their dogs and what dogs mean to them.
I think maybe everyone has a mother and they can understand the death of a mother, but I think people's relationships to their mothers are so often fraught and different across the board, whereas our relationships with our dogs are, in many cases, very similar. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
And so people can relate.
Mm-hmm. When you take on a project like this, what is it that attracts you? What is it that you say, oh, this would be interesting to do?
Oh, I just love dogs, and it seemed fun. So it seemed fun, and it seemed like, you know, I do children's books as well as books about women's rights and serious subjects like that. So this was somewhere in the middle. It was like it's not a children's book, but it feels like a children's book because it's simple and it's fun, I think, and uplifting, as many children's books are. So it was a no-brainer to do this book.
So let me broaden the question a little bit and just say, what do you look for in a project? I mean, you were mentioning the variety that you have and the different things that you look at. What do you look for in a project, that the opportunities that a particular project
well,
can
great.
Give you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been on your show a lot right over the years, and you've seen the things that I've done. And
right.
I kind of like projects that have a meaning, that have some other concept that we're trying to get at, you know? I mean, not that just a fun humor book is, that has meaning, but I go for stuff that has some meat to it. not, I mean, that's to say that this dog book is not it's light, but I think it has an underlying meaning to it, you know.
Oh, it does.
And I like that. I like humor that has another level to it.
But when you do cartoons for CBS News, or you do the Funny Ladies and Women's Rights books, I mean, those obviously you're getting more. I don't know. Is political the word?
Yeah. Sure.
So good Lord, what is that like now? I mean, I would just think that if you wanted to, you could express yourself every moment with something. And I don't know if that is that useful for you. does that help?
It's funny, you're not the only person who's asked me that lately. Like somebody on social media thanked me for a cartoon that I drew about the current political state, and they said, "I'm assuming that this helps you," and I'm hoping it helps you because it's helping me. So I don't draw political cartoons every day. My kind of political cartoon, I try to step back and look at the big picture, a little bit bigger picture, than go at the nitty gritty of like what Flynn said and what Cohen said and what Trump said or what they did, you know, all those detailed things. I mean, I have done those, but I try to step back and go, what's going on? Is Trump? Are we going to lose a president? Is he going to get taken down? Or, you know. And also, like Nancy Pelosi, what is her role as a woman? You know, step back and look at a bigger picture thing. So, maybe it does help me, because it makes me. I also feel like I'm contributing something to the conversation.
Don't you feel, and that contribution to the conversation, I think, is a very important point, because I just know, and what we do here, and people. People need something. People are looking for, it seems now more than ever, that people are looking for a connection or in some way to make sense of what they're living through and to have some way to go and some way to feel about it. Maybe it won't give you full understanding, but at least allows you to see an expression that you agree with, and that helps.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I think people, you know, we've gotten addicted to social media now, and so we've gotten in the habit of looking for things to like or things to share, and then cartoons are part of that mix. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten so divided in the last 2 years. I think people are looking for, I'm hoping that people are looking for not so much content to gravitate to that causes more division, but content that helps brings us together, you know, that we're all humans, we're all struggling to make sense of what's going on and what's happening in the world. So instead of like, oh, I like this and you like that, we're enemies. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get away. I have a sense we're trying to get away from that, and we don't really know how. So that's why I try not to make my cartoons too divisive.
And also, I mean, this has been described to me before, but and also just funny is funny, right?
Oh, great. Yeah.
Well, the book is beautiful. It's so much fun. It is
Thanks.
Be the Person Your Dog Thinks You Are, and has beautiful drawings of beautiful dogs by Liza Donnelly. It's out from Flatiron Books. Liza, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Have a beautiful holiday season,
Likewise.
And thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Be well.
Have
thank
a good
you.
Holiday.
And to
yep,
you.
Bye.
Thank you. Liza Donnelly's new book is Be the Person Your Dog Thinks You Are. It's published by Flatiron. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.